great. Thank you for that country tribute. Good afternoon. Are you awake? You know, I always have to be careful when I'm wearing a wireless. A few years ago, I was getting ready for a service. I put the wireless on and realized that I needed to use the restroom before the service. The sound man was away from the sound booth. When I came back into the church, everyone was laughing. I didn't realize what they were laughing about. But it was all in the speakers. So that was a little embarrassing. So now whenever I leave, I make sure that the sound is off. Anyway, it's good to be back with you today. You know, the Bible records some interesting characters. We have a guy named Jonah, who God asked to minister to a people in Nineveh, and he didn't like the people in Nineveh, and tried to go the opposite direction. You know the story, don't you? God got his attention, got more than his attention. Jonah, the Bible records, was swallowed by a fish that went to Nineveh and vomited him up onto the shore. God has a way of putting us where we need to be. And the Bible says that Jonah began to preach the message through the whole city. And it said that the city was so large that it took him a full day to walk from one end of it to the other. And when he was finished, he sat underneath the tree and asked the Lord to let him die. He was miserable. He was discouraged. Bible records another character named Job, who was an honorable man. Loved his family, sacrificed for them, was doing all the right things until God began to desire, I believe, a closer walk with him. Took him through some very difficult times, and got him to the place where he could have turned his back on God. And he looked at God and said, though you slay me, I will still follow you. And the Bible records at the end of Job that God blessed him more than he ever had before. But Job's biggest blessing was that he really got to know God in a more intimate way. The Bible records a man named Abraham. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that when Abraham went to claim his inheritance, he got on the road and began to walk, even though he had no idea where he was going. In other words, Abraham's walking along, and his friends come out and say, Abraham, where are you going? And he said, I don't know. He said, well, how do you know you're going the right direction? I'm not sure. Well, if you don't know where you're going, then why are you walking? He says, I'm claiming my inheritance. Where is it at? I have no idea. It seems foolish, doesn't it? And yet, Abraham obeyed God, even though he didn't know where he was going, and began to walk. Am I doing something wrong? Okay. Three guys who are interesting. Three guys who have something in common. God establishing something in their heart that motivated them in some way. Folks, I want to tell you something today that is probably difficult to hear and very difficult to say. I love bringing good news. And for over 25 years now as a pastor, I've had the opportunity to bring great news to people who need great news. Do I need to do something here? Okay. Ah, it was the bass player, David. All right, good. Not to mention any names. All right. I told you that today I want to predict your future. And you know, there are people in the United States anyway, there are people on television that you can call a special number and they'll tell you what your future is. it's not exactly godly. In fact, there's a whole lot of people that get involved in that, and the Bible warns against that kind of thing. But the Bible gives us some tools to begin to tell what our future is going to be by simply explaining to us cause and effect. Let me explain what I mean. 1,622 times in the Bible, it says if. If you do this, then this will happen. Cause and effect. 1,622 times. That's a lot, isn't it? You can pretty well predict where you're going by looking at what the Bible says will happen as a result of the decisions that you make. And I want to give you some of those today. And folks, let me tell you before we get into this, and I'm going to pray in just a minute, that if you allow this time together, if you allow this information to get into your heart, it will change you forever. I believe that what I have to share with you today is very powerful. I want you to listen. Because I know that God has asked me to bring it to you. And I know that it's for you today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray today that you would bless these words. Lord, I pray that you would bring your word alive as we begin to proclaim boldly what you've shared with us in the Bible. And I pray, Lord, that as people listen today, that lives would be changed. Lord, we're thankful that you desire a relationship with us. You desire harmony in that relationship with us. And Lord, we realize that many times we don't do the things that are needed in order for that relationship to become a deep one. But Lord, it's our desire to fall in love with you deeper and deeper. And so, Lord, we pray that today would be the day that we begin that kind of depth in our relationship with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to offer my predictions to you today, and not just for the year, but for the rest of your life. God has given you a blueprint. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11 says this, "You have shown me the path to life, and you make me glad by being near to me." So your future, the person that you're becoming, all of those things, folks, largely depend on the choices that you make today. You know, I'm so glad that God is sovereign. And I'm so glad that God has used some mistakes that I've made in the past anyway. But I realized that I'd be a lot further ahead had I not made them. And I also realized that there are some things in the Word that are clearly described as things that put you on the path to understanding and listening to God. So let me give you a few of my predictions. The first one is this. I predict if you choose your friends well, then the chances are great that they will walk with you and encourage you for the rest of your life. If you choose the wrong friends, you will most likely be frustrated with them and with people in general. Now, why is that important? You know, not everyone will be a good and honest friend. You know, although we're told to love everyone unconditionally, we're also told that trust is something that we earn with each other. Now, the Bible warns against trusting the untrustworthy. You know, in my life, I've learned to rejoice in my friendships. I have friends that are around me that have been friends for 20, 25 years, a long time. They've been through a lot of things with me, and they love me anyway. Maybe you have some friends like that, too. And there's nothing better than to have friends for a lifetime that will continue to encourage you and continue to help you to grow in the Lord. But let me tell you also, folks, that forgiveness is a huge key in any relationship. Any friend worth having is worth forgiving a lot. Why? Because we don't always do things perfectly. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "You will keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they do wrong." Gossip. You know, the Bible, when it talks about gossip, uses it many times in the same sentence as murder, because it's so devastating. Many of you have been on the receiving end of gossip, where people have said some things about you that are not true. And it's difficult to turn that around and make it right. Because most of the time when people hear gossip, even though it's corrected, they still have that message in the back of their mind that maybe that was really true about you. Gossip ruins a lot of people. And folks, can I tell you that it's ruining a lot of Christians today as well? We're good at gossiping. We do it spiritually, though. We do it in the form of prayer meetings. Somebody gets another person together and says, "You know, don't tell anybody, but I'm just telling you because I want you to pray." And a lot of times we share gossip in the form of a prayer request so that it looks more spiritual, but it's still gossip. And the Bible says, be careful that you ruin each other through gossip and idle words. You know, we're molded by the people that we choose to be around. It's important to have at least one good friend who encourages you. At least one. One that you can walk with through the years. One that you can be vulnerable with. One that you can share with. A friend that you can trust that'll tell you the truth. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Just as iron sharpens iron, friends sharpen the minds of each other." Also, I predict that if you don't date with the right motives, then you stand a greater chance of ending up with somebody who is not perfect for you. You know, I've been giving this message on dating for over 20 years now. It's a difficult message. But today, when we see so many relationships ending in divorce, and so many people not understanding what true love is all about, we realize that some of our motives and some of our practices are wrong. Dating is not a social exercise. It's preparation for marriage. And it's my opinion that you shouldn't date someone that you wouldn't consider marrying. And you shouldn't date until you're ready for marriage. Some of you are looking stunned at me. That's bold, isn't it? But it's true. You know, if you simply date socially, you'll break the hearts of those people that you date as well as your own many times. And you begin to confuse love for lust. You begin to confuse healthy sexuality for fleeting pleasure. And you reduce lifelong commitment to that special someone that you may find someday to simply a feeling that comes and goes. You know, it's easy to fall in love with the wrong people. You know that, don't you? Again, listen to your friends many times. They're the ones that will tell you the truth. And if you're already married today, be faithful to your relationship through the good times and the bad times. We have a saying that says, the family who prays together stays together. And that's true. If you're devoted to spending time in the Word, devoted to daily prayer on your knees with your spouse, your marriage will be successful all of the days of your life. It takes that commitment. I predict if you dabble with inappropriate sexuality or pornography, then the chances are great that you will battle with lust and addiction for many years to come. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 says, "You know the commandment which says, be faithful in marriage. But I tell you that if you look at another woman and want her, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts." If you begin viewing pornography, if you begin viewing people inappropriately, you will battle to some degree with temptation for the rest of your life. The Bible's mandate to guard your thoughts is absolutely critical to the success of your thought life. You know, it's interesting. I do a number of interviews, and people always assume that I come from a drug or an alcoholic background, because a lot of people around us do. A lot of people who are into hardcore music are people that have been through a lot of things. It's true too here, isn't it? But it's not true with me. Somebody asked me if I drank beer when I came to Europe. And the honest truth is I've never tasted beer before. That's just me. And I'm not saying it's wrong for somebody else. It's just wrong for me. I tasted alcohol one time at communion in a Lutheran church. Wine in communion. That's the only time I've ever tasted alcohol. I've never tried drugs before. I'm still a virgin today. And I'm very thankful that God saved me at a very young age, and that I had parents who are both seminary graduates who loved the Lord and raised me, nurturing me in the Lord. Daily prayer, daily Bible study, all of those things. I'm thankful for that. But I don't have all of those things in my past. I'm thankful for that. When somebody says, don't you struggle with alcohol or don't you struggle with drugs? My answer is no. I've never tried it. I don't know any different. The problem is when you try it and you like it, it becomes difficult to quit it. And the best advice, folks, that I can ever give you is to never get started in the first place. Because that's fighting the battle before the battle. To begin there. Sexuality is a wonderful thing in marriage, provided that it doesn't carry a lot of baggage with it, a lot of hurt for past relationships. But listen to me for a moment, folks. If you begin to dabble, if you begin to use pornography and inappropriate sexual activity, you will probably become addicted to it. We have people sitting here today who are secretly addicted. Many fathers need to become honest with their sons about their own personal addictions so that their sons don't become addicted as well. Mentoring them to become men of God. We need to be honest with each other and begin to see these problems as devastating in our Christian walk. But can I say one more time that if you never get started, you'll never have those things to fight? Along those lines, I also predict that if you dabble with drugs, then chances are that you will struggle to some degree with it. For the rest of your life. Now, there are people that God delivers completely from those things, but most people that I know that have struggled, that have used drugs in the past, still have cravings for them and struggle very hard with them. The most critical time, folks, that you will have concerning drugs isn't the time when you mess up, when you're addicted. It's the time when you first sample them. When somebody tells you just to try it, it's not going to hurt you. They're lying to you. Don't ever get started. I predict that if you allow a consistent flow of sex and violence and negative messages from music and media, then you will most likely find yourself being affected emotionally and spiritually. You know, I hear all the time from people who are confused as to why their relationship with the Lord isn't going well. So many people say, I try so hard to be a good Christian. I try so hard to establish my relationship with the Lord and to have a deeper walk with the Lord. But I feel like I'm not succeeding. And so many of you today are feeling defeated in your Christian life, and you can't figure out why. The Bible says that we have to guard our minds. There are so many messages from outside that seek to come in and to confuse us in many ways. People kid me all the time because I'm very selective in what I listen to, and I'm very selective in what I watch. I don't watch R-rated movies. I very rarely watch a PG-13 movie. And I don't even watch every Disney movie. I'm very selective. Daniel's been to my house. My video library is, I figure if you're 10 years old and you can't watch one of my movies, then there's something wrong with it. And that's the way I live my life. But it bothers me when I watch something that is disturbing, something that has something that my flesh gets involved with, because every time I watch something like that, it affects the harmony in my relationship with God. And I feel like if I can't pray immediately after I watch something or immediately after I listen to something, then there was something wrong with what I just allowed to come into my head. Folks, these days it's very difficult to sort out the things that are good for us as Christians and things that aren't. But please listen. When you fill your mind with sex and violence and those kinds of things from media and from music, and messages that are not pure, it will affect your spiritual life, period. You know, Satan is very sly. And I imagine that if Satan wanted to come today and win you over to his side, he'd probably come through that door as a musician. He'd come up on the stage, and he'd probably be the best guitar player around. And you would sit here and say, wow, I've never seen anything like that. And I'd stand over on the side, and I'd say, wait a minute, you guys, this is Satan. And he'd say, yeah, I know, but wait just a minute, this is really good. But you guys, this is Satan. Yeah, but he shreds on the guitar. And he'd probably be really good looking. And I'd say, girls, this is Satan. And they'd say, yeah, but he looks really good. You see, he appeals to our senses. If someone came to your door and said, hello, I'm from the Church of Satan, I'd like to come in and talk to you for a while, would you let them in? Would anybody let them in? Why do we let the same message into our homes through music, through media, through television? Same message. The Bible tells us to be holy and to sort through those things. That's a difficult message, isn't it? Philippians 4:8 is one of my favorite scriptures. It's also one of the most difficult scriptures in the Word. It says, finally, my friends, keep your minds on whatever is true, pure, right, holy, friendly, and proper. Don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise. I was driving down the Long Beach Freeway in Los Angeles not very long ago. And I came across the Firestone Boulevard exit. When I was living in California, there was an advertisement on the radio all the time for a car dealership selling automobiles. And it said, Pete Ellis Dodge, Long Beach Freeway, Firestone exit, South Gate. I remember it. You ever have one of those jingles you can't get out of your head? Stupid. And I'd listen to that, and after the commercial was over, I'd be singing that in my head because it was catchy. And so many years later, I haven't lived in California for a long time. So many years later, when I saw the Firestone exit, I remembered that jingle right away. It came to my head. You know, companies spend millions of dollars advertising their products because they know that you're going to listen to their advertisements and you're going to buy what they have to offer. They spend millions of dollars coming up with those kinds of jingles, that kind of music to make you buy their products. Folks, that's the way our mind works. And when you begin to fill it with things that are not holy, you will have problems. Let me encourage you to be selective in what comes into your head. I predict if you're lazy and fail to initiate a plan for your life's work, then you stand a greater chance of struggling needlessly with finances and self-worth. You know, this is a real important thing, folks, because the thing that I watch with my friends is a lack of purpose in life. Do you have a purpose in your life? Do you know what God's calling you to do? The security of having a job that you enjoy, the feeling of doing a job and doing it well, is very important. And it's a very special thing that God created us to enjoy. And then let me say this. I predict if you don't understand the importance of smiles and laughter in your life, then you'll end up taking life too seriously. Do you agree with that one? You know, some of the most boring people that I know are Christians. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? For some reason, we think that once we become a Christian, that life from now on is going to just be dry and boring, that we're never going to have any fun again. That's not true. In fact, there's something about having a relationship with Jesus Christ that makes you want to smile, that makes you want to laugh, that makes you happy. And folks, can I tell you that if you're doing it right, if you're living your Christian life the way God designed it to be lived, there's going to be a smile on your face. And listen to this. Even through the difficult times, even through the bad times, the Bible says the joy of the Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, never leaves you, because He's always there. And then, if you don't understand how important it is to consistently have healthy, growing Christians around you, then you'll find it difficult to maintain a healthy Christian life yourself. You know, there are so many people that say, I have my own church. I don't need to belong to a body of people. Some people say, I have my own church by myself. I go up on the top of the hill and have church, or I have church under a special tree, or, you know, that kind of thing. And especially in our group, folks, because many of you don't feel comfortable in many churches. You've just given up looking and given up trying to find a body that you can feel comfortable with. Can I encourage you, folks, that you need to find some people that will love you and that will complete you? You know, the Bible says that God has given us spiritual gifts. We all have different spiritual gifts, and not everyone has all of them, and many of us don't have the same ones. But the spiritual gifts that you have will complete somebody else's life, and their spiritual gifts will complete yours. And when you're not involved in a body of believers, in a group of Christians, and using your spiritual gifts, you'll find your Christian life becoming very unexciting, and you'll find yourself struggling a lot. The greatest strength you will ever have will come from a body of believers around you to lift you up and to help you to stay strong. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, you must encourage one another each day, and you must keep on while there is still time that can be called today. And if you don't, then sin may fool some of you and make you stubborn. And then finally, I predict if you don't spend quality time in the Bible and in prayer, then you will have a difficult time feeling close to God, learning who He is and how He desires to interact with you. You know, if you aren't spending time reading the truth, you'll be more open to falling for lies. And the only way, folks, to develop a close walk with God is to learn more about Him and to listen to Him. You know, I hear people say a lot of things these days. People say, I'm mad at God. Or, why me, Lord? Or, why does God allow bad things to happen to me if He loves me? Or, why does God punish those people? Why doesn't God punish those people who hurt me? Or, why does God seem so far away? Why doesn't God heal me? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? If you find yourself asking one of those questions, you simply need to get to know Him a little better, because none of those questions or statements about Him are true. He is a God of healing. He is a God of answered prayer, if you're looking in the right direction. And so here's what I'm saying to you today. Everyone, listen. The success in your future as a Christian, the success in your spiritual life, will depend on the choices that you make today. If you choose to allow the wrong things to come into your mind, you will always have mixed messages and you will always struggle the rest of your life. If you choose to become addicted to something, you will fight those addictions for the rest of your life, most likely. If you choose the wrong friends, you'll find yourself in conflict much of the time, and you'll find yourself not trusting anyone after a while. And if you fail to choose a body of believers, a church, people who believe in Jesus Christ, if you choose those people to interact with, you will become stronger as well. Are all those things just good ideas? No. They're things that the Bible tells us are necessary to the success of our spiritual lives. I want to challenge you with this today. We are blessed to have great music. We had some great bands playing last night. I hope you enjoyed the concert. Some good ones yet tonight. Some of you don't look like you're ready to rock and roll yet. Some of you need a little sleep first, huh? Or real loud music to wake you up. That's probably what you need. We're blessed to have great music. We're blessed to have some great people. But folks, when the music dies, when the radio is turned off, the stereo is turned off, where are you? Where's your relationship with God? The number one question that people ask me all the time is, how do I establish a deeper walk with God? I just told you how. It's a life of sacrifice. No pain, no gain. But folks, in closing, let me tell you this. If you begin to allow God to take over all of those areas of your life, if you will be disciplined in some of those areas so that you don't allow the world to come in, so you allow the Holy Spirit to flow, you will find your relationship with God a lot deeper and successful. And it just gets very exciting from there. We're going to have communion in just a few minutes here. And I wanted to spend just the last few moments talking about communion and what we're about to do. It's fitting that we would have communion on the last day, because Jesus told us to celebrate communion. And when I say celebrate, it sounds like I'm talking about a party, and I am. Because communion isn't something that is sad, it's something that's happy. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that his body was broken for us, and that his blood was shed for us, so that our sins could be forgiven. How many sins? All of them. The Bible says he became sin and died with it. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? But you're forgiven today because of that. So when we have communion, it's a celebration. It's a joyful time, because we're celebrating what he did. It's a memorial service. Jesus said, do this in remembrance, to remember me. And so as we have communion today, communion is for people who believe in Jesus Christ and who have been washed by his blood. What are the qualifications? Simply that. Let me say one more thing. Some people believe that you have to make sure that all your sins are forgiven before you come to communion, that you can't come as a sinner. Can I tell you, folks, that that's the only way we come? It's because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross that we're clean. And so in God's eyes, you've been washed with Jesus' blood. And so no matter where you're at today, if you're a Christian today, you qualify for communion. That's Christ's work on the cross. Let me explain how we're going to do this. We're going to have people come forward and create a line along the front, and there are people that will serve you communion. Once you've been served, you can sit back down again, and other people can come up and create a line. And you might want to explain that in Swedish as well, so that they're sure they understand. I might not have done a very good job. But let's pray real fast before we start, can we? Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could come today to celebrate your death. Lord, but in celebrating your death, we also celebrate your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you rose from the dead, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. And Lord, we're thankful that we can come this day because we've been saved. We've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we partake of communion today, we thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us. We thank you, Lord, that your blood was shed for us so that our sins could be forgiven. Lord, we're eternally grateful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.